When I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to live and work for a time in South Africa. There I met a woman named Sachi. She was someone I met in a church group. She came to the church where I worked, and we met in a group that gathered together for support and for prayer. She lived near my flat in Pretoria and would often stop by for a cup of tea or for a small walk around the city block. She loved to tell me stories of her childhood in India. She also really enjoyed telling me about what she called her new and old faith. Over the 15 years that she had lived in South Africa, Sachi had moved from being a Hindu person, the religion of her youth and her homeland, to being a Christian, namely a Methodist person who came to the church. But she practiced a really interesting combination of both religions. Our relationship grew quickly out of this fact because I, too, was experiencing some sort of spiritual transformation within myself. A lot of my spiritual energy over the past year had been about discerning my way out of one denomination and into the Episcopal Church and the Anglican tradition. So we had a lot to talk about. Our conversations were about the narratives and stories that we brought from our traditional faiths and beliefs into our contemporary faith and belief. Sachi loved stories from her tradition, and she especially loved to share them with me because I had never heard any of them before. Here is one such story. There was once a woman named Dripati who was the daughter of a king. She was known for her great virtue. It is said that she was born out of fire because of her determination and born out of thunder because of her strength. In jealousy of all of her virtues, many people despised her. At one point, she was brought in before the court where some men had decided to humiliate her by slowly tearing off her clothing before everybody. She called out to the emperor, to the priests, to the prime minister, and to her five husbands, and none of them came to her aid in that court that day. She clung tightly to her clothing, to her sari, crying out in fear for God to help her, and nothing happened. Then, extending a hand to the heavens, she cried out in need, "Come to my aid, Lord!" And still, nothing happened. Finally, with nothing left, Dripati let go of the now loosely hanging sari from her body, the one to which she was clinging, and reaching out both of her arms, cried out unconditionally, "Help!" And because she let go of her sari, because she let go of her fear, because she let go of her needs, because she let go of control in general, her god Krishna came quickly to her rescue. The moment at which her clothing was dropped, immediately there was an unending sari that wrapped around and around and around her. And the master of the court tore and tore and tore and tore at her clothing, but her body was never uncovered. She was never put to shame because she let go. It reminds me a little bit of our friend Bartimaeus today in the gospel text. There he sits on the edges of Jericho begging for a living. And it is common knowledge that anyone at that time with a physical ailment, such as blindness, lived with a stigma. Surely he did something wrong, and that's why he's blind. And because later in our story we hear him asking Jesus to make him see again, we know at some point that he did see. So in this situation, the stigma could be even worse because he must have done something great, some big bad sin in order to become blind. Surely the people who knew him or who saw him on the street wondered what he did, wondered what his sins were. And so there he sits just on the outskirts of town, probably homeless, with very few possessions, asking people for help, a coin, a chunk of bread, something, anything to help me. And there he sits as people walk by him and avoid him. And somehow he catches wind that in this crowd that is walking by him and avoiding him, somewhere in that crowd is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, that guy causing a lot of political and spiritual ripples in the waves of society. So he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But immediately he hears, "Be quiet, beggar. Shut up." Still another voice calls him a sinner. And another voice mumbles something about the crazy man sitting on the ground. But instead of shutting up, instead of getting shut down by the disparaging remarks made by the people around him, made by Jesus' disciples, his voice gets louder and stronger, and he shouts out, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Now, whether Jesus heard him the first time or not, he stops this time, and he says to his disciples, "Call him here." So someone hollers over to the blind man, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." But just then, something interesting happens. Something some might call a little crazy. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and leaps up. He doesn't pause. He doesn't pat around for a cane. He doesn't feel around for the ground underneath his feet or the wall behind him or a tree next to him. He does nothing but throw off his cloak and run to Jesus. Instead, he tosses aside what was probably the only earthly thing that he owned and leaps up immediately. He leaves behind his cloak, his outer garment, the thing that kept him protected and shielded from the sun during the day and the elements and cool of night. The thing that was probably his pillow and his blanket, the one piece of security that he has, he throws off. The thing that is his only tried and true and truest companion, he leaves behind. Just like Draupadi with outstretched arms, Bartimaeus releases that to which he clung and springs towards the Lord. In that moment, he is much like the trusting young child on the playgrounds, shouting from the monkey bars, "Daddy, catch me!" Trusting to reach out and to find the one who called him. Trusting to reach out and to find the one whose grasp is strong. Trusting to reach out and to find the one whose touch will heal him. And it is only after releasing that cloak, that sense of protection, that he can get there. It is only with both arms stretched out, unburdened, hands open, that the blind man can find the still voice of the Savior calling out to him. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to come to God with such abandon. It takes a lot to have outstretched arms. For Draupadi, it meant risking the humiliation of letting go of her clothing and standing naked before the people of the courts. For Bartimaeus, it meant risking the loss of the one thing he owned, the one thing that kept him protected, the one thing that he loved and cherished on this earth. And letting go and going to God. And you, brothers and sisters, what does it mean for you? What does it mean to come to God with total abandon? What does it mean to open yourself to God? Such that God can show you who you are. Such that God can show within you the fullest potential of who you are. What does it take to come to God with abandon? What does it mean to openly loudly, yet sometimes blindly grope around and feel for the Savior who is steadily calling us to Him. I'd like to end with words from the lyrics of a hymn that we sung earlier today in the 9 o'clock service. It's called The Summons, and I invite you to listen to the voice of God in these lyrics. Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Amen.